Reforming education in America is our topic on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is named Gary Wolfram. He's a professor at Hillsdale College, and he's written an article for Education Week, edweek.org, which is called Make Public Education a Market Economy, Not a Socialist One. Introducing Charter Schools Will Allow Us to Reclaim the True Purpose of Education in a Democratic Society. Gary, welcome to the program. Good to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure. Okay. There are some people in the education business that they're almost like Dracula and the cross if you start talking about school choice or that kind of thing. Why is that? Why the resistance?
Well, I think because everybody wants to protect their own turf. And if you opened up school choice, then what would happen is there'd be more competition. And, you know, that would be great for consumers, particularly for students that are living in urban areas, impoverished students would be much better off if we had the ability, if their parents had the ability to choose where they're going to send their kid. But if you are in the existing program, then you may not want to have competition. And everybody would be like that, right? I mean, if you could eliminate competition in your industry, that'd be good for you. And if I could eliminate, you know, no one else could become an economics professor but me, that'd be good for me. But I think that's fundamentally, it's mainly the union, the leadership that is opposed, not individuals.
Yeah.
Teachers.
Yeah, you know, I remember years ago, I mean, this is about 20 years ago, I was doing a report for Christian television where we went to Milwaukee and we were focusing on this Catholic school that was really providing a tremendous service for inner city youth where these kids were getting a great education. And it was all related to the subject of school choice. But one of the wealthy people in the area who was supportive of that whole school choice movement, she said, you know, the wealthy already have school choice through their money, but the poor don't. And therefore, schools like this and programs like this where, you know, the public schools or other educational choices are available to the inner city youth, these are a lifeline, you know, for improvement to help these kids. Otherwise, they're going to be stuck in a ghetto for a long, you know, maybe all their lives.
Oh, that's exactly correct. I mean, if you are, you know, if you're wealthy, then you can either choose to send your child to a private school and pay your taxes, or you can live in a neighborhood where it's very expensive to get in, and you have decent public schools. But whereas, let's say you're a single mom with three kids in the city of Detroit, you just don't have many options of where to send your kid.
Right.
And that's where school choice really comes in. And you'll notice that charter schools, for example, began in the city of Milwaukee, and they began because the inner city folks were really concerned about getting a better education for their children. And notice that where did charter schools really become important? They become important and with large numbers when they're allowed to be there, in large numbers in urban areas. They don't open up in, you know, wealthy suburbs.
Well, explain exactly what are charter schools.
Well, charter schools are, and each state has different requirements about charter schools. But essentially, a charter school is a public school that doesn't have a district boundary. That is, you can send your child there no matter where you live. And charter schools generally have a much more ability to hire quality teachers, to get to hire teachers that aren't doing a very good job. They have less regulation usually. But they all still have to satisfy certain requirements with regard to student performance and the like. And if they don't perform, then they can lose their charter and go out of business. And I think that's what's an important part of charter schools, is that if they don't do well, they go away. Just like if any other, you know, business doesn't do a good job, it goes out of business. Whereas the school district of Detroit doesn't go out of business.
Yeah. By the way, you know, as I recall, report that I even was filing about that about 20 years ago, in the overall context, it was one aspect of the nefarious work, frankly, from my perspective, of the ACLU, because they were opposing tooth and nail, you know, this lifeline that was being provided for these inner city kids. And so it makes you wonder, well, why are the liberals so upset? Now, you've already are opposed to this. You've already said that, you know, part of it is the people who own a monopoly. But there's still a lot of defenders of public schools, despite all the failing, you know, from different forces in our society. You know, not just the unions, in other words, including, I guess, the ACLU, you know.
Well, actually, it's interesting. There was a movie, Waiting for Superman, that really hits home, because it was it's about this inner city school, a charter school, and it focuses on the parents who are trying to get their kids in, and then it's a documentary, mm-hmm. and it looks at those parents whose kids didn't get in and how stunned they were and how depressed they were and how excited the ones were that were able to get in. And I do think that the people who are against choice in school don't really think through how education is provided and how it's provided so differently than it is for other goods and services. Now, you know, Milton Friedman, you know, back 50 years ago, said that, you know, that public education is really basically put as a socialist system. He said it's an island of socialism in a free market sea. And actually the president of the American Federation for Teachers, Albert Schenker, years and years ago, he said it's time to admit that public education operates like a planned economy, a bureaucratic system in which everybody's role is spelled out in advance and there are few incentives for innovation and productivity. So that's the problem. It's the system that is the problem. It's not it's not Detroit public schools or Baltimore public schools or Philadelphia public schools or Atlanta public schools individually that are a problem. The problem is the system where you're not rewarded for providing a quality education.
And we should add, it's not the teachers, or at least in most cases, because there are some very strong, dedicated teachers that have sacrificed everything. And then after a while, they just become so discouraged. Sometimes they'll put in their own money, their own time and effort in order to make things really good. And then they get punished, essentially, for their initiative.
Well, it's interesting. Adam Smith said, I don't rely upon the benevolence of the butcher, the baker, or the brewer for dinner, but rather on their self-interest. But he never said you wouldn't find a benevolent butcher. And so you have thousands of really good public school teachers, and you have thousands of really good public school superintendents and principals, but systematic innovation, systematic quality education, you have to rely on incentives. So, you know, you can find the individual equivalent of the benevolent butcher, but all you got to do is ask yourself, when was the last time you heard anybody say they want to move to Baltimore to send their kid to the Baltimore public schools or Philadelphia public schools or Atlanta public schools or Chicago public schools or Los Angeles public schools? That tells you that it's not a problem of one school district. It is a systematic problem, and it really harms our lower income children, and that's who really we ought to be concerned about. You know, my kid's going to do fine, and your kid's going to do fine, mm-hmm. but again, you know, single mom with two kids in East Los Angeles, her kids really need a quality education.
And American children are not doing that great when compared with other countries as far as the quality of education.
No, they're not. In fact, there's a number of international studies, but there's one that looks at the international student assessment. And American students were 30th in math, 19th in science, out of all 35 members of the what's called the OECD, basically the large advanced economies. So we're 30th in math out of 35, 19th in science. I mean, we should be up at the top.
By the way, I trust that none of those 35 nations you're referring to are third world nations.
No.
Okay, I just want to be sure. I mean, I just want to clarify. But
interestingly enough, the Cato Institute, CATO, if you go to CATO.org, Andrew Coulson has done a whole lot of work on other countries, and countries that are impoverished and smaller countries, their private system is doing extremely well, even though their tuition is really low because everybody, you know, the vast majority of people in those countries are poor. The private sector is doing well in terms of providing quality education in some of these countries. Again, Andrew Coulson, C-O-U-L-S-O-N, has done a good body of work on this.
Hmm. All right. Now, this is a Christian radio station outlet. So my question for you, too, as an addition, within the charter school framework, is there the opportunity, which, by the way, the Supreme Court has said that opportunity exists in public schools, where if the kids after school want to start a Bible study or have the meet you at the poll, and they go by all the requirements that the courts have allowed, which are a lot more flexible than one would perceive, that's true in the charter schools as well, correct? Just want to be sure.
Well, it would depend on the state because the charter schools are each state. But my idea is that charter schools are just an interim. They're a mechanism to introduce choice into schools, and that is, people see that choice is doing better, that they'll think, well, you know what? Why don't we just, instead of the government producing education, why don't we just have the government provide education and give people vouchers and turn the whole system over into a private sector? Again, charter schools for me are a transition to where every school would be a private school. And if poor people don't have enough income to send their kids to school, then the government could provide a voucher that could be used for education. But you're exactly correct in that it is really the private schools that are going to be the solution to this problem in the long run.
Okay, what are your thoughts about Betsy DeVos as education Secretary of Education?
Well, I've known Betsy since at least 1983. She is a quality person, and she is really concerned about improving the quality of education for poor people. Mm. I mean, that has been her focus for years. And I think that she's carrying this focus on in the Department of Education. Of course, you know, it's hard to get anything accomplished in Washington, D.C. But I think that she is a good choice because her focus, again, was on trying to move the system into a private system where low-income kids could receive money from the government to go out and their parents could choose what schooling they would have, and therefore I would have an incentive to invent innovative ways to teach these kids. I mean, that's part of it, is stimulating innovation in the education. I'll bet you, if I told you that, if we said we're going to pick 30 kids, fourth graders from the city of Detroit, and we'll offer any private company $450,000 if at the end of the year those kids can read at a fourth grade level and do math at a fourth grade level and get paid nothing if they don't, I'll bet you'll find private companies that would go on and take that challenge.
Yeah.
They would figure out a way to teach these kids.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because in your article you say, well, some people say, well, the problem is the public schools just don't have enough money. That's the problem. And yet you say that the average pupil in the entire Detroit public school system, they spend $15,000 for the average pupil, and yet they're delivering this poor education. Well, we're linking to your article in this. Is there any closing thought you want to say in about 10 seconds?
Well, I look at the charter school system as a mechanism to move towards private schooling, and we ought to be producing education in the same way that we produce any other good and service in this country.
All right. This is Gary Wolfram. We've been talking with. He is at, his Twitter handle is @Gary_Wolfram. Wolf, W-O-L-F-R-A-M. Thank you so much, Gary, for being with us. All the best.
Well, Thank you, and you have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye.